Thank you for joining us today with Cindy Sherwood's podcast, Words for the Journey. Unconditional love.
Today I'm sharing another podcast that features a portion of a lesson from my Bible study, Running with Horses, called Unconditional Love. I have another podcast posted called Living with a DC, which dovetails with today's podcast. So if today's subject is of interest to you, please listen to that podcast as well. Today I want to zero in on what it looks like to live in unconditional love when it is a close relationship. While I will be talking about this in the context of marriage, our closest earthly relationship, it applies to any ongoing relationship with someone we love and care about. So this applies to other family relationships and friends, too. I still remember the reason why I felt compelled to include this material in my third Bible study. I had been leading Healing Journey classes for quite a while and had repeatedly seen a certain dynamic occur. Hopefully you know this already, but it bears stating what I'm about to say is equally true for men as it is for women. It just so happens that I only lead women's groups, so they are my reference. But I've had many married women come through my classes and receive a ton of healing. They began to replace the lies they had believed about themselves with the truth that God loved them and that their life was valuable and significant. They learned they were lovable and worth loving. Along with learning that truth and beginning to embrace it, they also receive healing for the original wounds that led to their false beliefs. They left the class much happier and with a lot less bondage. Then they went home. Then they went home to a marriage with someone who had not been through the class, who had not received healing, who was just as contentious as ever. And they quickly found themselves living in defeat, not living victoriously. Even though they had found their voice and began using it, the response they got was harsh and disrespectful. It saddened my heart, to say the least. So how can someone who is walking victoriously learn to thrive when they are still living with a DC? DC is my acronym for difficult customer, someone who continually gives us a hard time. DCs provide a constant temptation to go back to being a victim, back to our old icky ways of relating to people, back to yelling, withdrawing, blaming, being silent, punishing, etc. We don't want to do that anymore, but how do we maintain for the long haul when someone treats us disrespectfully every day of our life? Before I give you a strategy for thriving with a DC, I need to lay down a few foundational thoughts. First, I'm not talking about abusive relationships. If you are being sexually or physically abused, you need to be away from the person who is doing this, living in a safe and separate place. If it is your spouse, I'm not saying you definitely need to get a divorce. Jesus is a very effective healer, bringing hope and healing to anyone who will seek it. Now, if it is a psychological or emotional abuse that's going on, it's harder to gauge whether you need to be separated, so I would seek professional guidance in this. In reality, all husbands and wives emotionally abuse each other sometimes, but it can get to a level where it begins to destroy the other person. So get help with this. Get help with any abusive relationship. The first thing you have to decide is whether you're going to travel on Trust Trail or on Pride Pathway. If you want to go God's way in your relationship, Trust Trail, hang with me. That's where we're going next. If you want to travel on Pride Pathway, you won't want to hear what I'm going to share. When we serve God, we follow His rules. Ephesians 4:1-3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul describes us as prisoners for the Lord. A prisoner's rights are forfeited when he goes into prison. We tend to recoil at that message, particularly if we've worked so hard to come out of bondage and find our voice. Why would we surrender it? Well, this is advanced Christianity, certainly not for newbies. But after we've received life from Jesus, after we've been transformed and set free by Jesus, then he asks us to lay down our lives for others. If you can't hear that right now, I respect that. It was a long time before I could enter this territory myself, but please know that this is the life decision that precipitates finding your true life, to beginning to live the life God created you to live. Our purpose and best possible life is found in Christ. Following Christ means bearing with one another in love. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." God says we are to hang in there with people. And I don't see any qualifiers. He doesn't say bear with the nice people. In fact, he says the opposite in Romans 15, 1-2. "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." The NIV says bear with the failings of the weak. So one of the first things we need to resolve is this. There is no back door. That needs to be our position. As long as we have a foot out the door, as long as we're looking for a reason to leave, as long as we're looking for sympathy for our situation, we will not look to the Lord to help us remain faithful and steadfast. I've shared this before. In fact, I've done an entire podcast on it. But remember our life conduct verse, Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Our job is to be humble before the Lord. That means we obey him. To be merciful to people. That means we forgive everyone anytime they hurt us. And to act justly. That means we always do the right thing, no matter what the other person is doing. And that is tremendously difficult when the other person is treating us disrespectfully. That said, here is a strategy that can help you maintain in a relationship with a difficult customer. When we are living with a DC, we go through a predictable cycle. It is important you learn to recognize the cycle and where you are in the cycle. There are four phases. In the first phase, your DC is being the same person they always are, but you're in a good place. The arrows may be flying, but your relationship with God is steady. You're feeling close to God and strengthened by him to respond to your DC with patience. You're handling things pretty well. But then you notice things are changing. You notice old familiar feelings are returning. More and more you feel discouraged, hurt, frustrated and disappointed. You're moving into phase two. It's hard to respond kindly to your DC. You don't feel peaceful anymore. In fact, you're feeling angry again. Self-pity lands in your lap, and you can hear the enemy taunting you to bail. Why do you put up with them? You know they are never going to change. You deserve better. This isn't healthy for you. Maybe if you left, it would give them the wake-up call they need. You're trying not to listen to that voice, but it's hard because you're so tired of the same old struggle. When will it change? How can you keep going? At this point, you're headed up toward phase three, to the top of the cycle. Before you know it, you've hit the top. You can't take it anymore. You're coming apart inside. You've got to do something or you're going to lose your mind. You are now in phase three. Your mind constantly darts around for a solution, something, anything that will help you. The pride pathway options tend to go in one of three directions at this point. We either bolt and leave the relationship, either for good or for a while, or we unleash, we erupt, and all manner of vile things come spewing out of our mouth. Or lastly, we completely shut down and withdraw. We disappear into ourselves. While these things are all normal human tendencies, none of them will help or heal or make the relationship better. These choices will not end well. If we end up choosing one of the pride pathway options, we will find ourselves in phase four immediately, falling down the outer side of the cycle. We will experience a break in our intimacy with God, something that always happens when we sin, and we will suffer bitter defeat in our own heart and mind. We will quickly find ourselves in difficult territory, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. There's another option, though. Let's go back to phase three, when we are ready to erupt and desperate for a solution. It is here we need to go to the feet of Jesus. He is our true hope. We need to bear our soul with Him, dump all our difficult feelings out to Him, forgive the latest offenses, and ask Him to heal us and restore us. Those feelings and thoughts need to come out, but let them come out to God. This may surprise you, but you can actually go through this cycle and not sin, not disobey God. Before you react and do something you shouldn't, you can break the cycle and go to the Lord for restoration. Forgiving your DC for the millionth time will be critical. This is the path to freedom. Acting out will get you nowhere. It will just bring you more pain and suffering. I love this phrase from 1 Peter 3:6 NIV. Do what is right and do not give way to fear. Instead of being a hot air balloon floating away to places unknown, let God pull all the hot air out and get you back on the ground. Don't let fear and anger rule your life. Let God rule your life by doing what is right. Your doorway to peace is found in doing what God says. You'll never find peace if you disobey Him. Did you notice that I have not once said this is easy? It is not. It is terrifically hard. But God is our strength. He will always give us the strength to do the right thing. We never need to doubt that. Something that has helped me in relationships with DCs is to remember that I don't have the power to change anyone. Only God has that kind of power. So if I want my DC to change, then I need to do two very important things in order to create a safe environment for change. Number one, I need to accept my DC the way God made them. Romans 15:7 says, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Jesus accepts us. He expects us to do the same. Judging your DC will create an unsafe environment and more tension in the relationship. We have to let God be in charge and resign the role of junior God. Number two, we have to love our DCs no matter what. Again, don't tell me this is impossible. Ask God for everything you need, for patience, for self-control, for kind words, for renewed love. He will answer your prayer. God is the cause of our love. When we need more, He has more. Don't ever say you can't love someone. It simply isn't true. The problem is never that we can't love someone. It is that we won't love someone. The truth is that we're prideful. As soon as we yield our pride to God and ask Him to renew our love, He will. Keep in mind, when you live with a DC or they are in your life on a regular basis, and you will need to grieve regularly after you have forgiven them for the umpteenth time, let your feelings of sadness and disappointment out. Cry and weep. William Temple has an amazing quote I want to share with you. We are called to the hardest of all tasks, to fight without hatred, to resist without bitterness, and in the end, if God grant it so, to triumph without vindictiveness. So how can you fight and still be obedient to God? Fight by never ceasing to pray for God to move in your relationship. Fight by getting help from Christian professionals who understand God's healing ways. Take the Healing Journey class with your DC would be even better. And find people who can do intercessory prayer work with you. It really helps you maintain for the long haul. Whenever we have a DC permanently in our life, we will continually go through the same phases of this cycle. So expect it. But if we go to Jesus in our time of need, He will always heal us and reset our heart. All scriptures from the New King James Version, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org to learn more about our ministry. Please consider rating us on iTunes or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.